Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got the president and CEO of our Falcons, Rich McKay. Rich, it's always a blast to hang out with you for a little bit. How you doing this morning?
Rick, I'm doing fantastic, and welcome to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We are happy to have you, and we're happy that the building is open, operational, and we have a season under our belt because we learned a lot in that first year.
It was a fun year the first year. We were telling some stories off the air, Rich. I remember doing the tour. DJ Shockley and I, Jay Adams, we all went back in, like, I don't know, 2 years before it was built, and they had these giant cranes, and they've got the video. Can you think back that far and remember what the steps you've been through to get to this point?
It's a big old project, right? I mean, it took so long to get to the construction phase, right? It took us, you know, 5-6 years of negotiating and getting everything in place, and then we got to the construction phase, and then the construction phase felt like I know it didn't for those people that were actually manually on the project, but for us it felt like it went very fast, because every day there were decisions to be made. Hey, we never thought of this. What about X, Y, or do you want to do Z? And so there were decisions being made all the time, so it felt like that process was actually moving quickly. What was scary was when we got towards the end, you know, we still had cranes in here in June. It still felt like, boy, we're going to have a game here like in 2 months, and we don't look like we're that close to finishing. But that's the way these projects work. And so in the end, it turned out great. The first year was, you know, had 3.3 million people in the building. I don't know if in my mind that we grasped that we would have that many people in 1 year. Obviously, when you add a franchise like Atlanta United and they have over 1 million people come in the building, that changes the numbers. You know, the Dome was an incredibly successful venue and a great home for us, and pretty much a venue that averaged, you know, anywhere from 1.3, 1.4, 1.5 a year. So to get the building and to get over 3 million people in the building really to us is it's an achievement to all the operational people that have worked in here and had to do a lot, and my hat's off to them.
Rich McKay, president and CEO of our Falcons, joining Rick and John here on the home of the Falcons on a Falcons Thursday. What is, when you look back at the you know, I'll say the last 18 months, so the last year, so the first year of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and maybe that 6 months leading into it, so that 18-month period, talk to me about the biggest challenge overcome, like the thing that you're proudest about that it looked like maybe an impossibility and you guys were able to overcome it.
I think it was the fact that every, every roadblock we had or every challenge we had, it was never a singular challenge. Oh, there's an issue with the roof. No, there was an issue with the roof, and there was four other issues that were going on at the same time that we were working on, and always with the same object, which is, hey, we need to get the building operational. We need to get the building in as good a position as it can be, and we need to realize that it's still going to be a work in progress. And knowing Arthur and knowing the way Arthur looks at it, you can look at this building today and you can say it is a completed building. The project is far from over. We will continue to tweak it, add to it, invest in it. It's the beauty of having a private entity that's in charge and owns it and takes all the risk, because with Arthur, you're going to be willing to see investment. You're going to see us continually upgrade the building and make it better. I say all the time to the Jones family that every time I go back to Arlington to their building, it's so much better than it was in 2009 when it opened. And their building in 2009 was really cool. Their building today, way better. And I think that's the way we look at it because of who Arthur is and what he's willing to do from an investment standpoint. So I think the challenges we had were just, we had so many challenges. Is the board, poor Pete Soto in charge of the entertainment on our board, you know, kept saying, well, you know, if you just give me 3 months in advance before that first game, I think I can do everything I need to do to program. So then we said, okay, how's 2 months sound? He said, 2 months is, I'm good with 2 months. And literally, I'm not exaggerating. At one point we said, how does 10 days sound?
Oh, my God.
Because we couldn't get him and all the equipment in a position and all the construction in a position where he could sit in there and actually operate. So, you know, we kept telling people, hey, listen, when it comes to the Halo is an incredible, I mean, it's, you know, 63,000 square feet of LED. It's an incredible, you know, board. But we said, just realize in year one, it's going to be a walk, and then it's going to be a jog, and then it's going to be a run, because we need some time. And I give a lot of those operational people and people like Pete that put on the show for us, we didn't give them the best of, you know, environments to start in, because we just didn't have enough lead time for them. But, boy, they did a good job.
Rich, one part of the project that's still going on right now, the Home Depot backyard, where is that? When will that be complete? And what does that do to enhance a fan experience coming into Mercedes-Benz?
I appreciate you bringing it up, because in my mind, it's one of the coolest things that Arthur has done in this project. There's a lot of things we're proud of. I think the Home Depot backyard long term is going to be really cool. So what was it? The Home Depot backyard is a former home of the Georgia Dome. Knocked it down. There's a hole kind of there. It's, you know, 24, 25, 26 feet below, you know, street level. It's grass. It's got some roadway in it, so that you can park. And what we'll do is we'll tailgate on Falcons games. We'll tailgate on Atlanta United, and it will be a park open for business programmed a lot, community-driven. This is a Westside community-driven affair. That's the idea. Create a connection between the west side and downtown, and use, you know, Home Depot backyard as that connecting point if we could. Hats off to our partners, the Georgia World Congress Center, for letting us use it in that way. And we'll be ready to go. Finished, you know, they give you the date of September 7th, definitely for our first home game. We'll be open for business. So you'll see one section of it's going to be what we call kind of the super tailgaters. Mm-hmm. These are people that had to apply online, and they had to prove to us that they're going to produce smoke, and they had to prove to us that they're all in. I think we charged them $20. So this was not a profit-driven, Home Depot backyard is not a profit-driven affair. when we first discussed the dome location, the idea was, hey, maybe you build a deck in there and you can really make some revenue and parking, and really came to the idea that that's not the right use for it. And I think that with our partners, the Congress Center, I think the vision that's going to be there is really cool. And then right to the north of it will be the new convention center hotel that they'll probably begin building in the next year, 18 months. That's a 36-story hotel. So that whole property that will be, you know, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Home Depot backyard, the new hotel, and the George World Congress Center is going to be spectacular. And I think hopefully create a much better connection between the west side of Atlanta and downtown Atlanta.
I mean, I really hope the media in this town is paying attention. I told you this guy makes news every time he opens his mouth. Rich McKay, president and CEO of our Falcons. The roof is going to be open tonight. We're all excited about that. Always love it when the roof is open. I was here for the Packers game last year. I was at a United game where the roof was open. It's surreal. It's awesome. It feels like you're inside, but you're outside. I'm just a big fan of it. So, Rich, what I want to know is there a policy? Like, when it's this, degree or this weather condition, we open it. Like, have you guys, like, almost set up a policy or a rule book for when the roof is open and when it's closed?
We have. Yeah, we you know, the design of the building, one of the first things we talked about was with the retractable roof was we wanted to create an open-air building that could be climatized. We didn't want a dome, and we certainly didn't want a sunroof, because when you have hair challenges like I do, sunroofs are just not your friend. So we really wanted it to be more than that, and so we want it to be in the open configuration. So, yes, we have parameters. We have daytime temperatures that we want to live in, because in daytime it creates, there's a little more heat created, and we have nighttime temperatures. We have dew points. We have humidity points. Why? Because you just got to make sure the building is still comfortable. There's no question that the first time you do this, you're going to hear people say, boy, I'd rather just have it at 67 degrees. Right. And that adjustment period is going to come. But we think it long-term really bodes well for us and really can make this building spectacular. What you saw last year in Green Bay and what you saw in the Atlanta United game was not a reflection of what you're going to see. And the reason it wasn't was because we had to, because roof at that point was not fully automated. So we had to open that. I think I was here this morning. That morning we were doing it. I think we opened it at 9 mm-hmm. in the morning and you know, took our time and got it all the way open. Well, what happens is in that all those hours before the game, the building does get much warmer. And so our players were like, boy, it's warm in here. And we're like, yeah, because the roof was open so long. Tonight what we're doing, and the reason we want to do it tonight, is we're 1 degree under our temperature nighttime requirement. We're under our humidity requirement by, I think, one percentage point. We're under our dew requirement, so we're good to go. But we also need to test it. We need to test the whole process. How we make the decision, when we notify everybody, we have to sign a sheet that says 90 minutes before the game that we are going to be open. We have to then open the building, has to be fully, the roof has to be open 60 minutes before, because the people that warm up are supposed to warm up in the same condition than they play the game in, right? And so that's kind of the NFL policy. But we also want to see, we want to measure all the temperatures. Okay, what's the impact? When we wait this long and we climatize the building, how quickly does the building warm up? And we'll leave a lot of the air on in many places. And so we got a lot of work to do on it. This will be our first really test run, because those events last year where it was open, it wasn't done in a way that we intend to do it. So it'll be fun. We've got a cool video that's kind of a nod to Atlanta and the history of Atlanta and how we got here. That kind of will always go with the opening of the roof. We won't have a ton of people in the building then, because it'll be an hour, 10 minutes before the building, before the kickoff. But it'll be a cool moment.
Rich, one of the challenges a year ago, fans obviously came through the doors and the Falcons were selling out games, but there was a lot of times they were spending, time in the club or walking around in one of these great restaurants. How do you attack that this year to try to get people in their seat for opening kickoff and loud and proud like they were at the Georgia Dome?
So I think that the opening kickoff part was a struggle for us at the Dome, mm-hmm. and is a struggle for anywhere, quite frankly. The beauty of here at Mercedes-Benz was the fact that people came in so much earlier because of the food and beverage. It was just crazy how we sold, as we've said before, we sold as much food and beverage by the end of the first quarter of every single Falcon game last year as we did in any full game.
Wow.
Okay, so that means including halftime.
Right.
Any full game the year before at the Dome. And what you say, why is that? Was it just pricing? It was a lot of those things, but it was the fact that people came here early. It's the fact that they brought their families here early. And one of the things we wanted people to not stop on the way here and have to feed their family because they didn't want to come to the stadium and get gouged. Mm-hmm. That worked great. But what we didn't really anticipate and turned out to be a great byproduct was the entry experience, because people came so early. So in reality, John, what happened is in the building, we had more people than we ever had at kickoff at the Dome, because at the Dome we had a lot of people come late, and it always made it hard on Carl and Kevin and the operators with us, pounding them, saying, hey, you guys got to get these people through the gate faster. And they're like, what? That's not so easy, because they're all showing up 10 minutes before kickoff.
Sure.
It got a little better for us. Now, getting them in the seats. So I think we looked at the building and we looked at the design of it. And when you see these bars that are cut inside the bowl itself, and when you see the design and how big we made the concourses and how we tried to make the 300 level really special. Like, we wanted the 300 level. Those are our fans. Those are the people that are all in. And we wanted that level where we put the 100-yard club. I've called it bar, but it's politically incorrect, so now it's a club. We put it up there. We want all those spaces to be cool. Well, what did that create? Create a little more social environment. So we understand, as much as it can be a struggle at times for Dan, for Thomas, and for the team to say, hey, where is everybody? They're all here. And they're all watching and they're all cheering. It may not be the way it was where everybody's going to be sitting in a seat.
Right.
But they're going to be here. And then what we did last year, as the year went on, we upped the volume because we sold more standing room. Mm-hmm. Inexpensive price, inexpensive entry. And what we found is that the standing room were not impacting our people that had bought seats at all. It actually added to the ambiance and the noise. And you'll see us do that again. And We can do that in a way that we actually control it, where visiting fans can't get their hands on them. And so it's another way we can create more atmosphere. But to your point, I think over time people will get to their seats more because people will have experienced the building many, many times. But we're not going to fret as much about it, because that is a little bit of the design of the building.
Rich McKay joining us, president and CEO of our Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk some football, Rich. I would like you to single out one guy on special teams, defense, and offense that has caught your eye this preseason.
I never put individuals because then that means other individuals weren't. I would say this to you. I'll say this to you.
You're so aware, Rich. I'm telling you.
I would say this to you, that what I like is that our veterans, which we get to see every day in practice, right? And you get to see in our games, you know, a little. Are, I think, in a really good place. I thought practice has been very crisp. I thought our O-line has been on it. I think when you look at our receiving core and you look at where Julio Jones is in his, you know, his health, knock on wood, probably should just knock on my head, but, he's been his healthiest camp he's had since I've been around him because he came into this camp healthy. We're in a good place that way. So I feel good about where Matt is. I feel good about where our running game is. So I'm in a good set. On defense, we got a lot of young players that can play. But that really, the hard thing about defense is, in my mind, in today's world of practicing, is you don't practice. You practice everything except full speed and except getting guys on the ground and all that. So we're not going to see that till next week. I think you're going to like what you see next week. But I like where our football team is. I'm more proud, said this the other day in a speech I was making, I'm so proud of the football team and what they did last year because I know what we were up against. You know, we lost the Super Bowl. We came, we did all your radio shows. We told you guys very clearly we were over it. Yeah, come on, over it? How are you over that? To come back and win the amount of games we won and to go on the road and win a road playoff game was a real credit to the team and the backbone of the team, because I was in here in this building when we lost to Miami and Buffalo.
What the hell?
I didn't handle those drive home.
We didn't handle it well either.
I didn't handle the drive home well. But our guys didn't give in. You know, it's so easy in post-Super Bowl to give in. You look at the records of teams that had Super Bowl losses and what happens, and our guys didn't give in. That bodes very well for us. So I'm in good shape. What's interesting to me is I look at preseason in a descending way. I do not like preseason game one. Never have. It always scares me. Don't know who's ready, who's not ready. If you lose the game, oh my God, you may never win a game the rest of the year. If you win the game, everybody says, well, you know, the other team didn't even try.
Right.
And why I like this game, as much as people say, oh, you know, a lot of the starters aren't playing, they're not, is this will be the biggest moment in many of these guys' lives tonight. And that idea of, well, they know they're not going to make the 10, it's just not true, because the difference is that practice squad's up to 10, and that's 10 on every other team. So this tape and tonight means a lot. So to me, when you go in the locker room, it's an interesting locker room because you have a lot of vets that are sitting there, they're kind of relaxed, and you see other guys that, This is the biggest day of their lives. So I like week four.
Rich, I got to ask you real quick. You're a fashionista. I always mess with you in the booth with Wes and Arch. What kind of shoes do you have? Because you have a color pair of those shoes to match every suit that you wear.
I told you I'm a stadium guy, because once we got in the stadium business, I realized this whole day of, you know, leather shoes, heavy shit, it's over. We were walking 8 miles a day,
right?
It seemed like, during the construction. So I'm Cole Haan's. I've become the Cole Haan softy cone shoe, and in every color I can get.
With the slick white bottom, looking contemporary.
Sure, I like it.
Hey,
when you're bald, you want to draw the attention downward.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.